All right, so I'm going to jump in. Today's topic is your ideal client profile. Woo, it's a good topic. I sent out an ideal client profile during the week with the class reminder. Does everybody have that in front of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me look now. I wasn't very good about my personal email this week, so let me just pull that up.
Okay.
Oh, yep, I got it.
Yes. All right, so we will be talking about that document today. I will start with some information, some, you know, big picture overview about your ideal client. Then I'd like to go and talk to you about, you know, the specifics and how you can make the information relevant to you. All right, so let's begin. All right, ideal client. All right. Anyone can be your client, but not everyone will be your ideal client. Your ideal client is also called your target client or your best client. Who is this person? Because I've asked this question, you know, so many times, and I'm sure that you've asked yourself this question. Your ideal client is one that you're pleased to take on, right? They make your day. You know, after an appointment with your ideal client, you're energized. You feel like you can take on the world. You feel happy to work with them. You know, these are the clients that you want to actively pursue. And you can tell the difference. You can tell whether you really feel good about it. You can, sometimes you work with someone and you just feel drained, like, oh, you know, that's just not for me. You know, so the goal always is to listen to yourself. We ask a client to listen to themselves. Your goal is to listen to yourself. If someone doesn't feel right, then it isn't right. And even if, you know, at the beginning of your practice, even if, let's say, you identify on paper, you know, who's ideal, then you start to work with that person, and that person doesn't work for you, you know, go with your gut. Go with what feels right for you. And knowing yourself well, right, and the kinds of people that you enjoy most, you know, imagine, you know, when you're creating this, coming up with your ideal client, you're imagining that you're designing the best coaching client for you. Right, and you know, I'm a career coach. So what I do is I'll ask people, you know, if you could not fail, what would you choose? This is the same thing. You know, if I could, you know, if I had my way, if I could just say, boom, this is the person, you know, then, you know, that's the goal. And it's to let go of the logistics first. You know, it's like you want to identify who they are. You want to get the stuff out of your head and identify it, and then you can go into logistics mode. Then you can say, where can I find them, and how do I do this, and what goes into my business plan? But the goal really is to get out what's inside of you. So you begin by asking yourself, who do I want to work with, right? And I put together some questions that you can ask yourself. These questions are in the notes. You don't have to write them down. I really just want you to just listen to them. You know, coaching is all about listening, right? So during this portion, I just want you to listen. Take in the questions, think about how they apply to you, and then you'll get them in writing. So questions that can help you identify who you most want to work with. Right? So question number one, you know, who are the best clients who can easily afford to pay my services? Right? So really start to think about, you know, who has money to pay me? You know, another question is, you know, who are the clients that value my services? Who are the type of clients that trust me? Who is the client that I am comfortable with, you know, as knowing that I don't have to sell them anything? You know, sometimes in coaching, you know, we can find ourselves in convincing mode. You know, we don't want to be in convincing mode. We want to find people that, you know us, get us. You know, that means you've really identified the right target, you know, the right problem to solve. You know, that whole, you know, how do I attract people becomes easier, you know, when you have clarity. Are my ideal clients ready for action? Will my ideal clients take responsibility for their decisions? Are my ideal clients willing to invest in themselves? Are my ideal clients open to new ideas? Will my ideal clients refer business to me? Will they refer business to me and be raving fans? You know you have attracted your ideal client because your client easily pays you and is always on time. Comes to you already understanding how you can help them accomplish their goals, refers you to others without even asking, comes back for more of your services whenever they're ready for another shot, gives you energy emotionally and financially. you know, the next portion of this is really going through the ideal profile and hearing from you. But before we do that, does anybody have any, like, big picture questions about, you know, ideal clients? Okay. All right. So the ideal profile really is broken down into three pieces. You know, piece number one is, you know, who are they? You know, piece number two is what are their challenges? And piece number three is, you know, how can you reach them? So I'm wondering two things. You know, has anyone completed the profile? And do you want to share, you know, what your paragraph is? So that's one piece of the coaching portion. And the second piece is, are you stuck in any area of the profile? Are you stuck with who are they, you know, what are their challenges, and how can you reach them? And we can talk about that. So has anyone completed the profile, the paragraph? I would like to share it.
I think, you know, I've done some work. We've talked a little bit about it during the week, Deborah. I'd be happy to jump in a little bit and expand on that.
All right, good. So go ahead.
You know, my background is, you know, it's financial, and I did a decent amount of work in the financial planning arena, and, you know, now that I'm coaching, I'm seeing, you know, I understand their needs, and it's a very production-driven, goal-driven kind of business, and what I see is a set of people who have a very common set of goals that operate in teams. And with that, they run into obstacles. You know, how do I achieve my goals? What's getting in the way? Why isn't this working? You know, what do I need to do with this new campaign that the organization has kind of laid in our laps? And it's a very fast-paced, high-pressure type of an environment, as any kind of, you know, sales-driven production-based business is. You know, having been in that business, I know their struggles. I know the challenges that presents. And that kind of puts me in the position to speak to them a little bit about how a little coaching can elevate what they need to do, elevate their achievements, really provide, as you were saying, kind of a nest of people, where it's not just one individual. You know, they work in teams, and oftentimes the team has a team goal. So what I see in terms of my particular client is both an individual who has a certain, you know, quantifiable, definite goal, in their case, a lot of, whether it's a production goal or a sales goal or a commission goal, a team that oftentimes has to work together to do that. So what I'm really seeing is how I, with my background, can provide them with more insight to that, and to also help them go beyond the obstacles that they incur when, you know, they get out there and attempt to accomplish what their mission is.
Good. All right. So that's great. All right. I love it. You know what? You're clear. You know, you did great work this week. Great work. So I just want to acknowledge you.
Thank you.
Yes. You know, are they like a certain place, like in their life cycle, you know, work-wise, like are they new to financial planning and they want to get up and running? You know, are they been doing it for a few years, have a little success? Are they more seasoned? Like what's the ideal for you?
Sure. You know, that's actually a real pertinent question, because there's a lot of newbies that come into that industry, into that business, as I did, you know, as you kind of transition. And because of that, you know, they have these production goals that are new to them. And a lot of times they come from a variety of different backgrounds. I mean, there were people coming in like me who had a financial background, and those types of things are more intuitive. But there are people that would be out of a job, might have just been in sales in an unrelated, product or service. And, you know, they're trying to transfer, sales skills. Or you could be somebody like me that has financial skills but doesn't know the first thing about selling. So, you know, you do have a lot of people that have are new, and not only are they new kind of coming out of college, but they're also new at different stages in their, in their life cycle. A lot of them are cycling out of corporate work that didn't, work out, or they're downsized out and they need to, earn a living. You have those, those personal challenges, people that are coming in that have had a real blow in their life that set them back, and how do you overcome that as well as develop these new skills? So it's an interesting point that you raise, because it can be, kind of complex for a lot of these people.
Yes. All right, so I'm hearing the word new, right? As you're speaking, I'm listening to patterns. So I'm hearing new. Mm-hmm. So new career, right? This is new. I was thinking maybe a more seasoned person that wants to take on new goals, right? So there's a newness component to this.
Sure.
You spoke about teens. So I'm thinking maybe teens, like maybe new people. Like there's a newness. It sounds like you like helping them in the beginning.
Yeah, that's certainly the obvious, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
there's also, and I don't think I'm there yet. I think I can make more of an impact with as you say, the new recruits. But there's people that also, I guess it does get to new, but there's people that want to step up a rung and up their production or up their achievement. And how do you get there? How do you get to that next level? That's another component in it for the more seasoned people.
Yeah, so that's new goals, new achievements, right? And if you have a team, a team that's working well together, may or may not need coaching, but maybe there's a new component to the team. Maybe there's new people, new mandates, new something. But it sounds like the newness is, something gets thrown at them, and then they want to rise to the occasion.
All the time. It's constant change. Constant change.
Yes.
So that's the not just new, it's also change.
Yeah, change is new. Change is newness. Right? So I am hearing new. And the inspiration thing is like helping people rise to the occasion. And then coaching doesn't become a nice to have, because when coaching is a nice to have, you're in convincing mode. This is a I have to have. I'm stuck, I'm in a new career, like I'm in trouble. And I need to rise to the occasion. That also gives you focus, because the rising to the occasion and the newness and new goals, new achievements, new career, gives you something to, speak about, gives you stuff to build stuff around. Because, for you, it sounds like you have it all mapped out. You just don't know who you're mapping it out for. You want to make money. And financial people, understand money.
Yep.
And they want to make money too.
Yeah. Well, that's another point. When you're working with those types of people, a lot of it is convincing them that this is not just an expense, but an investment, so to speak, helping them really see the value.
Yes. Well, you have to see, there is no convincing, it won't work. You have to see the value first. So, your next step is to really kind of quantify this. You say, well, I can help you with the challenges. I understand. It's like, okay, well, what am I actually getting? Is it a toolkit? Is it steps? Does this really work? How does it work? So it's time to quantify that stuff.
Well, that's kind of an obstacle that I sensed but didn't see, and you just kind of put it into words for me, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so
what is it that I'm providing for them, and what is the difference that I'm going to make for them, make them see it, make them own it, and it's, if you will, sells itself, rather than having to convince them.
Yeah, you're not making anyone see it. You're sharing it with them. You know, and it's interesting because,
right.
you know, next week we talk about the hub statement. So, you know, that's your goal. See, you know, last week you didn't know who they were. You know, this week now you know who they are, right? You have, like, you have a theme and it's new and help it up and running. So now your goal for this week is to really kind of map it out so you can see it. You know, how, you know, what am I specifically helping them with and what do they get for their money? You know, and then from there, you know, you could start to think about, okay, how am I going to reach them and what do I want to say? But you're
right.
You're on your way. You're definitely on your way.
Hmm. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I'm on my way.
Yes. You know where you're going. You're just stuck right here. You're not sure how to put it together, and you're afraid it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's you know what, that last piece, less so at this point than 7 days ago. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you had a breakthrough. You know, last week you shared yourself, you were vulnerable, you opened up. Once you do that, you know, then that's it. You know, it's out of the way. You know, it's no longer, your fears are no longer a secret. You put it out there. So at that point, it doesn't have any power over you anymore. And then you know, you can start doing stuff. Because you had trouble choosing, you had trouble doing stuff. So you had a remarkable week.
No, thanks. It certainly feels that way, and I certainly feel better about it going forward. And you've kind of given me my task for the upcoming week in the course of 5 minutes. So it's
pretty much. Yes. Very good. You don't want to make anybody see anything. You want to share it with them. And you know, people can say, I want that.
Yeah.
Right? And you know what? You don't have to do it all in one day, because I know you're afraid whether it'll work or not. You know, take it in stages, little by little. Test it, stage, test.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Gina.
All right, Mike, thank you for sharing that. All right, who's next? Who wants to either read their profile or talk about where they are stuck with their ideal profile?
This is Denise.
Go ahead, Denise.
Hi. So first, I just want to say thank you, Deborah, for really giving me my aha moment last week. Because of that, I was able to really focus on rethinking my niche, and that kind of helped me with this paragraph that I wrote. When you told me last week that you hear me saying that I help people live independently and go through life's challenges, I actually redid my hub statement based on that. And I actually, my paragraph reads, I kind of took a little bit from the sample, but basically here's what it reads. My ideal clients are people who live life on their own terms. They are independently successful. When opportunity knocks, they welcome it. They are passionate and creative. They are guided by their instincts and beliefs. They live creatively to go through life's challenges. Their biggest challenge is staying focused and motivated to bring their desires to fruition. Primarily, I connect with them through social media, speaking events, workshops, and Zoom. I have a tribe that support each other through life's challenges. My core suite of offers include one-on-one coaching, live and virtual workshops, group coaching, a membership program. They are available for sessions on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. and 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern.
Wow.
And that's what I got.
Wow. That's great. I love it. What did that, anybody else think? What do you think about what Denise just said?
I have goosebumps. I'll be honest. That I strive for that level of clarity that she just described, but I can picture that person that she's talking about.
Thank you.
That was great. That was great. That was awesome. I love it.
Thank you. Again, it was because of that conversation. Like, I'm not so stuck in the people I can't help right now, and I saw it as, well, I really could help everyone in the same aspect.
Yes. Okay, so let's go back to the criteria for a moment, right? So the ideal profile has three things, right? It has who are they, what are their challenges, and how can you reach them, right? So if we look at the first one, who are they? Check it off the list. Very clear. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the third one, how can you reach them? Check it off the list. Very clear. I think you can go a little deeper with their challenges. Right. You said you know their challenges is staying focused. You know, taking their desires to fruition. That's good. I mean, that's really, really good. But it could be a little jargony, right? So you know, the sweet spot of coaching is, you know, wait, let me go back for a moment. You know, I believe people don't always like to ask for help, right? If somebody comes to us, you know, and they say, I need your help, we will help them absolutely. But asking for help is harder. You know, we have to be vulnerable. We have to open ourselves up. You know, we're sometimes afraid how we will be perceived. And so a lot of us are lone rangers. You know, we'll meet clients who are lone rangers who are working on stuff, you know, by themselves for a long time until they get to the point where they can't do it anymore. That's when they reach out for help. That's when people are ready for coaching. That's the sweet spot of coaching. You know, are you ready? So, you know, it has to have two things, the sweet spot. It has to have something that inspires you, like you want to be focused, you want to jump out of bed every day and be excited. But it also has to touch them, you know, specifically of you know, what are the problems? You know, what am I paying you for? So if you take the staying focused, you know, staying focused and desires comes to fruition, you know, what are the actual challenges that people will say, I can't do this by myself, I need to pay you to help me. So what do you think?
I think that one of the things, well, now I'm a little confused because, you know, I guess I thought of writing the paragraph of the ideal client as in they're already there. These are the people I actually work with. But now you're making me think of what challenges exactly they're dealing with, like what life's challenges. And, you know, some of the things that came to mind when we were talking last week and even throughout the weekend, I thought about, you know, people who perhaps had someone always taking care of them and guiding them, and now they have to do it on their own. They're able to, they want to, but they just don't know how to get there.
Yes. Last week we spoke about, you know, having an independent life despite your disability, right? So a disability could actually be something that people have, like something you see, you know, or it could be something internal. Like maybe their fears are their disabilities. Maybe it's an internal thing that you don't see. So, so we spoke about the disabled. We spoke about the caregivers. You know, but if we go to what you said, some of these successful people, you know, how are they disabled, right? And maybe we could, you know, a different word for disabled is maybe paralyzed, maybe afraid. Like there's something that's holding them back, there's some kind of fear that's holding them from really living an independent life. Okay, I'm going to open this up to the group. Anybody have any thoughts or suggestions for Denise? Come on, guys. We are all great coaches here.
So the one thing that came to mind, and I guess because I'm thinking about the same thing for my ideal client, is maybe to articulate what is your ideal, Denise, what is your ideal client saying to themselves, right? They're saying that they want certain things or that they don't want to keep doing the certain things, right? So kind of get some of that mental mental conversation that they're having in their head out and articulated, because that might give, that also might help for people to be able to say, yes, that's me. I identify with those personal questions or the mental tape that's playing in their head a little bit. I don't know if that's kind of, if that's what you had in mind, Deborah, but yeah, that might help to, you know, to say, you know, maybe it's the boy, I wish I could do this, or I see this in somebody else, I want this for myself. Type of stuff that that somebody can identify, truly identify with, and say that resonates. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And Denise, you know, you're bigger than the disability. Like you have other life experiences. You know, maybe you know, maybe you've done some great things in your career. Maybe you've done some great things in your life. You know, maybe you've done some great things with relationships. You know, there's a pay it forwardness in coaching where you go through an experience and then and then you give it back to other people. You help them through it because we wish when we were going through things we had someone to help us.
Mm-hmm.
So what other life experiences have you been through? You know, that you want or can help people with.
Well, one of my biggest challenges that I've always had to kind of motivate myself when the people who are supposed to be there for you and support you and kind of cheer you on and tell you, yeah, you can do this, you know. A lot of times they weren't there, and I had to kind of see past that and kind of push myself to not think in a negative way the way everybody else is thinking. And, of course, I know my limits. You know, I'm not going to go, you know, bungee jumping since I only have a balance. But, you know, so you do know your limits, but you also know what you can do and just kind of push yourself through it, even with all the naysayers.
Okay. All right. So you're talking about being independent and relying on yourself.
Mm-hmm. So somewhere on in this paragraph, I should be putting down an actual sentence of I help you XYZ.
Yeah, I mean, we have the hub statement coming up next week. And you know what? Let go of, you know, the paragraph has to be perfect, right?
Okay.
You know, and, you know, so we can focus on the moment of, you know, what do you, like if somebody said to you, wow, I love that, you know, I would love to be independent. I'd love to rely on myself. You know, how do you help me? You know, like, you know, what would you say to them?
I would say to look at your strengths, to look at your gifts, your inner gifts, like what you're good at, what you love to do, what makes you happy, you know, because in whatever you do in life, if you're not fully happy with where you are, you'll never be successful.
Yes. Okay. So if you had your way, you know, what types of people would you like to spread that message to?
To people who they have it in them, they just don't know how to get it out.
Good. For example, give me an example of a person in a situation you want to help.
Well, for example, in my community, you know, people who have disabilities, whether it's emotional or physical, they're used to people always caring for them, always guiding them and kind of telling them what they need to do to the point where they realize in adulthood that I don't know what to do now, and now I'm kind of here alone. You know, either my parents are gone or, you know, something happened. Maybe I'm going through a divorce, and, you know, I married an able-bodied person, and now I'm kind of on my own doing things on my own. And, you know, yeah, I have somebody who is a paid caregiver, but how do I take care of myself emotionally to have a fulfilling life.
Yes. You know what? You know what? What's interesting is when we have this conversation, we keep coming back to the person who is, you know, actually physically disabled. You know, and maybe mm-hmm. we keep coming back to it because that's the place for you to start, because it is the group mm-hmm. that you know the most. I mean, it's the mm-hmm. group you really know the most. So maybe that's the place to start. And then as you continue mm-hmm. in your journey, like step one is this group. As you continue in your journey, you get to see there's other people or other groups or other things. Maybe it'll expand afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then I know also from a financial standpoint, you said, how do I get paid? You know, mm-hmm. I see, you know, groups. You know, do you like to work with groups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, the people who can't pay do better in a group because there's less money they have to pay. You know, mm-hmm. but you still get paid because it's in a group setting. So you still make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe you start with some groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other things you wanted, like the grants and some of the other things that take a little longer to kick in, you know, it's mm-hmm. okay because you have some short-term money coming in and you can wait for some of the long-term stuff to kick in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that was my original idea, is to work with that group of people. But again, you know, you also have their family members. You know,
yes.
they're either their parents or their spouses. Because, you know, you can come into a situation where, you know, you were completely able-bodied and then, God forbid, you have an accident or something, and now you're relying on your spouse to care for you, which, you know, I know Mike had mentioned that, you know, that can put a strain on the relationship, put a strain on your own emotional well-being, because, you know, sometimes you don't want to feel like a burden. You know you can do more, but sometimes you don't even know how to tell this other person, I can do it. It's going to take me a little longer. I need to do it a little differently, but just let me do it.
Yeah.
Without hurting their feelings.
Yes, I think that this is going to be a little bit more successful now, because there's a different spin on it. You know, like
mm-hmm.
when you spoke about it last time, it's almost like they were stuck. You know,
uh-huh.
and you don't want to meet the stuck person who doesn't really think, you know, that is powerless.
Right.
You know, because powerless means I'm a victim. Powerless means I can't do anything about it. You know, this
exactly.
is a different take on. This is a different take. This is, do you want to live an independent life despite your disability?
Mm-hmm.
right? I
mm-hmm.
want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take action. I'll pay for that. My family wants that. Like there's a motivation and a decision that the person has made to, you know, to change their life, and they're ready, right? That's
mm-hmm.
your sweet spot with this, you know, that's when people will pay you.
Right. Right.
You know,
so
even the caregivers, caregivers are at a point where they say, you know, enough is enough. You know, I
uh-huh.
need to take action. You know, I'm done.
Right.
You know, I'm done is very powerful. I'm done.
Like, another thing I didn't say last week is my father had an accident when he was in his 40s. He was working in a factory feeding sheet metal into a machine. And his hand got caught in the machine, so his hand was severed. His right hand was obviously his prominent hand. So he had to learn to live with his left hand and not work now and live a whole different life. And even though my mother had me, you know, and I was living as independently as I was at the time, and I'm actually disabled all my life, my mother started overly caring for him. Like, she wouldn't
yeah.
even let him try. And I actually pulled my mom aside one time and I said, Mom, you need to let him try. You know, this is his only hand that he's going to use now. You need to let him figure out how to write, how to answer the phone, how to, you know, put the coffee pot on, you know, like things like that. And I remember my dad saying that, you know, because of me, he was able to kind of learn to just live with the one hand and not see it as a shameful thing, because he used to wear a prosthetic hand, like a fake, you know, plasticky hand, because he really had no function where he can use like a hook or anything. So he just had it for cosmetic reasons. And eventually he let go of that cosmetic reason. And of course now, almost 30 years later, he is able to function, you know, pretty much fully with his left hand.
Wow. You know, Amber.
I was gonna. Can I offer like something that just popped into my head?
Sure,
absolutely. When I listen to Denise, what I kind of see is you're helping people go from this word disabled to this other space of like ready, willing, and brilliantly abled.
There's this whole
experience that whole world, like world, maybe even worldly abled, I don't know, wildly abled might even be another way to put it, right? Because you're not necessarily, you obviously aren't living the life for them, but you're painting this, you're helping them paint this picture of all of these amazing possibilities that are in front of them. And I think one of your ideal client has to be somebody who's at least willing and ready to dip their toe in the water a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You're out of convincing them that it's possible to, you know, they're sort of ready and willing, but you're helping them define what does brilliantly abled or wildly abled really look like for them. But actually articulating that for them might help to say what you are offering and pulling in that right person. Just a thought.
Love it. Yes. Thank you.
That was awesome. You know, Denise, as you were talking, I wrote Live Your Own Life, right? The caregiver, live your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Empower them by empowering you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's an empowerment piece there, maybe letting go of guilt, but really teaching them how to live their own life and be independent, because that's really how you truly help somebody else is when you're your best self.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So does this help?
Absolutely. I can't wait to get the recording so I can listen to it again. I'm a really bad note taker, so I like to listen and then listen to the class again or, you know, a session again so that I can really hear it.
All right. Why are you a bad note taker?
I don't know. I've always been a bad note taker. I can't listen.
Do you listen? I'm a bad note taker. I don't listen well. And you're trying to empower other people today.
I got to work on myself, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's no good or bad note taking. I mean, you take notes the way you take notes. You know, and you like listen to the recording a few times. So what? That doesn't. There's no judgment, okay?
Thank you.
You know what? Listen to it 10 times if you want. It makes you happy. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Thank you very much for sharing. All right. Anne-Marie, you're up.
I'm up.
You're up.
Okay. So I quite like Mike, I feel like I've had this, I don't know what you want to describe this week, but it's sort of a breakthrough. I mentioned in my email that I've kind of started with the end in mind. So the people that I've coached and I've had a lot of fun coaching are people that are the ones that not just walk away with sort of tasks that they feel like they need to take on or, right, it's a confidence and a self-identity space for me. And as I really peeled that back this week, the people that, again, that I, what I would call in that ideal space have been people who are going through significant transitions in their life. Some were transitions that they sought out and some weren't. So I played a little bit with that during the week, like the sort of this life and career transition. But as I looked this morning, as I looked at the ideal client stuff and as I was listening to you, Deborah, I peeled that back even a little bit further. And in that world of, who do I want to work with? Who energizes me? Who do I think I energize the most? It's really people who are either starting to explore or people, women in particular, who are starting to explore or actually starting to do a little bit of the work to define their second, what I'm calling the second act. In particular, women who are coming out of corporate jobs, you know, maybe not in the middle age space, but in particular, probably more middle age women, like the early 40s. And one of the things that I found that about these, this ideal in this ideal world is, and maybe one of the things I could say that they're struggling with is asking themselves, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but I know it's not this. And so I know it's not what I'm doing right now. This has been a great run, but I'm ready for the second run. And I'm ready to define it. I'm ready to do something that's a little bit more in line with my purpose and values, right? So it tends to be women who are a little bit older, have spent a little bit of time in corporate, and have done a little bit of the, it's not maybe not done the identity work, but they know, they sense that what they're doing at the moment is not fitting with their identity, or the identity that they want to have, perhaps. So I'm kind of narrowing in on this second act woman.
Anne-Marie, I just want to say something. You said something very, very striking, right? You said not this, right?
Yeah.
So that you know, that is such a compelling thing to have a conversation with people. And, you know, you talk about life transitions and what really, you know, I think where you really, you know, hone in on the pain is it's not this. It's not this. Because the people who are saying to themselves it's not this will go, oh, my God, she got me. You know, and then you know, the other side, you can go into, well, here's how I help you, and here's my program, and, you know, I help you with confidence and all of that stuff. But really, you know, the foundation is it's not this.
Yep.
And I know it's not this. And I'm done. You know, I'm done with not this. Like, I really truly need to do something else because I'm just dying inside.
That's it. And I don't want to say I hate to admit it, but a part of this ideal definition is me, right? It's where I was. It's who I, or it's help that, and coaching that I wish I had access to or even knew about back when I was, you know, wrestling with those questions. It's people who are open to exploring possibilities, and people who are maybe close enough to making a decision. Maybe they haven't made the decision yet. Maybe they have, I don't know. But at least close enough that that's a serious decision that they are considering. I don't necessarily want it because I think it's hand in hand with the women who, you know, maybe I'm still just kind of playing around is also the, I'm not ready to pay for it. I'm not ready to invest in myself and invest in the process. So there is that sweet spot of these women have done enough. Sort of, it's swirled in their head for a long time, this idea of not this, has swirled in their head long enough that now they're ready to do something with it. They're ready to say, well, if it's not this, then what is it?
Yeah, this not this, you know, really is is the criteria. Honestly, this not this is really match, no match. Because the people who say, yes, you know, not this is your client. And anybody who can't say, doesn't feel not this is not ready for you yet.
Right.
Not really. Doesn't mean, you know, I can't say that 100%, but really the not this, you know, is the group that's ready. Like not this. Go ahead.
I don't know what it was. I don't know what part of the conversation when, you know, we've been on the phone for what, 50 minutes, but I don't know what part of the conversation clicked with me, this idea of it's not this, I'm ready for part two. I'm ready for the second act. I'm ready to define what is it? What is the second part, this new adventure, this new, and that to me is, so I feel like I've had this breakthrough both on niche as well as ideal client in about a 30-minute span of time. Kind of giggling because it's only taken me, what, 5 years to get here? 5 years and 30 minutes.
All right, Anne-Marie, you could giggle for a few more minutes because you got a few more seconds of giggling because then I have the next question for you, which is,
okay.
All right, how are you going to reach these people?
This is where you've said it to me for three. Right. No. You've said it to me for 3 or 4 years, Deborah, and it's and you've always said when the first two things are right, the other thing falls into place. And it because now my brain is the ideas are coming. I've got a huge network back at Procter & Gamble and a whole lot of friends that are saying, not this. And they have friends, and they have friends, and they have friends, right? So it's corporate. There's a lot of companies right now in Cincinnati that are actively laying people off, and people are having to take that question that they're asking themselves much more seriously. There's my own company called Goodyear, right? And, oh, by the way, I have time set up with one of the HR coaches, you know, who does coaching for women inside of Goodyear. So there's the corporate setting. There's a few business accelerators here in Cincinnati, right? I can now see these groups of women. Again, I'm not excluding men, but my passion is truly female, helping women step into that.
Okay. All right. All right. So Anne-Marie, I'm going to go back to the question. All right.
Okay.
So the question is, how are you going to reach these people?
The first thing I really want to do, Deborah, is write, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So I started a little bit on LinkedIn this week. I'm committing to myself by the end of February to reactivate my blog, my web space, where I was doing a little bit of writing about this. And then from the writing, use that to identify a couple of places to speak. Per your advice from the week, one or two groups that I can speak to and talk about this idea of not this.
Okay. Now, is this going to be a challenge, identifying these groups to speak?
Yeah, probably. For me, it probably will be. That's the out-of-the-comfort-zone piece for me.
Okay.
I believe they're there. I have to do the work to do it. Right, and that's where I tend to get stuck.
Okay, but you've done some work identifying groups.
I have. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I went back to my notes for your suggestion. But I think for me, it's eating the 800-pound elephant one bite at a time instead of trying to do everything all at once.
Yes. You know what? Last week when we had the conversation with Mike, you know, it's kind of the same thing, which is, you know, you speaking is you being vulnerable and putting yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because go ahead.
It's not the speaking part. It's the asking to be a speaker part. That's
yes,
the part that.
Yeah.
Because
no,
once I'm
has,
up there, you know me, I can't shut up. It's
yes,
the asking for the stage. Yep.
Yes. Because you've already done the work. Nobody does. Let me tell you, no one does more mind mapping and beautiful circles than Anne-Marie. So you already know where you want to speak. You've already identified the group. You've done this already. You've done it.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Now
it's
we're
the asking part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The goal is to be committed but not attached. So you're attached. If you're attached, you have no power. So, you know, be committed. You know, committed. Committed to having them that you speak, and if they do, and they do, and if they don't, they don't. And if they don't, if you're not attached, you can say, well, tell me why not. You know, is it my topic? Is it the timing? You know, you'll have the power to figure out what it is if you're not attached.
Yep.
All right,
so
will you do that? I mean, I know you have to do things first, and you want to write and this and that. You are a great
mm-hmm.
writer. But this speaking thing is not going to go away for you until you live into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am going to do this. I just want to think of three people or groups that I can approach. First. And I think starting in my own backyard at work would be a good one. Not that, so dear, because the not this could be another place in within the company too. It doesn't have to be start your own business or so, right? The whole point is giving yourself space to find the possibilities.
Yeah. You know, do this if this calls to you, you know, just because, you know, I say to you this speaking thing, do it because it calls to you. You haven't really chosen it yet.
right. You know, I should do this, I need to do this, you know, wait, Deb, you know, wait, I just need a moment to kind of, you know, get my thoughts together and do this, I need to do other things first. You know, it could be that there's just things you need to do internally first before you're ready, and that's okay.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to start speaking now if it doesn't really call to you.
The who doesn't call to me, or the who to ask doesn't call to me just yet. The speaking does, yes.
The who to ask. Yes.
Yep.
If there's things you need to do to get ready first, do it when the timing feels right for you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that kind of release, if you will.
Yeah, because otherwise it's too much pressure. It's a should, and then you
right.
won't do it. You know.
Right.
All right. Good work.
Okay.
Anne Marie, thank you. That was really good work.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Shelby,
yeah.
are you still here? Is Shelby still here? Let's give another shout out to Shelby. Shelby, are you there?
I'm here, but I'm not prepped.
You're not prepped. Okay. Okay. All right. Is there anything that you would, is there anything based on what you've been listening to the group? Is there anything you'd like to say about, you know, your ideal client or just things that you've been thinking about?
Well, I've been doing this work a lot. And also I've been teaching it in my class. And so it really resonates. And I think I'm really in a good place to do it. Because I've been focusing on it and teaching it. So I think it will come easy for me.
Okay. Anything that has any thoughts, right? Oh, good echo. Okay. I hear an echo. Shelby, your line is echoing.
Excellent.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yes, thank you. Okay, so last time we spoke about, helping people break free. Right?
Yes.
Free to be and love themselves the way they are. So any thoughts around that ideal client, you know, based on what people have been talking about today?
I think a challenge may be people may not realize that they're not free.
Yes.
And people may not realize that they may be scared of the freedom and they may not know what that actually entails.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that's not your client.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's not your client because you're not convinced.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have people that are afraid of what it looks like or afraid they might not get it, but willing to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that will help narrow. I think the narrower and the more detailed and the more in tuned with the target audience, I think just the more successful you'll be because you won't be chasing unicorns.
Yeah, absolutely.
You won't be chasing people who are not ready, who are not in the headspace yet. So it's very helpful work.
Good, good. Yeah, because it's two components. It's okay to be afraid, but you really, the two components is, I don't want this anymore. You know, I don't want this anymore. And I'm ready to do something about it.
Yes.
And that's it. That's the sweet spot of coaching, right? I don't want it anymore. I don't want this anymore. Whatever this is, fill in the blank. That's piece number one. And piece number two is, I am ready to do something about it.
Yes.
Right? So, and that's where we meet people. That's where we meet people who become clients.
right? And then it's our job at that point to say, you know, here's how I'm going to help you. So I get it. I get you don't want this anymore. You know, I was there. I was there too. Or, you know, here's clients that were there too.
And this is a safe space.
Yeah, safe space. That's right. Right? And I'm ready to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the same thing. You know, I was in a situation like you. Here's what I did. I have clients that were in the same situation as you. Here's what they did about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then at that point, once they meet those two criteria, I don't want this, I'm ready to do something about it, then you can tell them how I will help you. Right? And mapping out, you know, your process, your program, your prices, all of that is an important piece of that. So you can explain it to them so they know what they're buying.
Right. Awesome.
Could I ask Shelby a question here?
Absolutely.
Shelby, you said something about once you have it defined, you're not chasing unicorns anymore, right?
No, the client. Yeah, me not chasing the unicorn client. Mm-hmm.
Right. But that resonated as somebody who's probably could have been a client for you a few years back. I know I always felt like I was chasing something from a body image or self-love, that idea. Anyway, and sort of turning to you mentioned people who are ready to sort of give up the diet culture.
Right? Yes.
And, you know, that idea of chasing the next fad diet or chasing the next celebrity who's got some bullshit to offer, et cetera.
Yes.
Is it also is there also some magic in defining, helping your client define not they're ready to be done chasing and instead to look at what they found years ago?
Yes, absolutely. There's a... It's almost a grieving process, a mourning process, and giving up that thin ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that piece of it. But it's on the other side, the balance of, you know, mental, emotional, social, physical, and embracing still wanting to be healthy and fit and sane and rested and hydrated, but not being restricted and restrictive and...
Right.
Yeah.
But I think as I heard that word, your ideal client is done chasing, I actually sat back in my chair a little bit like, yeah, that's exactly what I felt when I finally said, it's time to do something different.
Yeah.
I mean, there's almost a deep breath that came out of me like, yeah, finally
you
said it. You said what I
said. Yes.
Yes. Again, just a thought. Just as you said,
I
it kind of hit me as that's probably what your client is doing too.
Exactly. And thank you for helping me expand that scope because I was thinking about me chasing them, but you're absolutely right. They've been chasing too. Absolutely.
Yeah. That was cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Shelby, I have to say, I really acknowledge you for saying, you know what? I'm not prepared. Because sometimes what happens is I have people that are not prepared and they try to, you know, go round and around. I already know they're not prepared by what they're saying. And of course, I'm not going to say anything. But you were like, I'm not prepared. And I was like, I love that. So you have a wonderful straightforwardness about you that is really going to serve your clients well.
Thank you.
All right. So let's wrap up. So your homework, right? Oh, not a homework. So your assignment for this class, right? And again, I'm not grading any assignments. It's just work to do, right? Just to supplement our work together. So your assignment for this class is to ask yourself, who is my ideal client? All right, Shelby, can you put yourself on mute, please, star six? Thank you. All right, so your assignment for this class is to ask yourself, who is my ideal client? And complete your ideal client profile to get it in writing. In the next session, we will discuss how to create your hub statement for your niche, how to craft an opening statement that articulates your hub brilliantly and professionally, right? That sounds nice. Nice game to play, brilliantly and professionally. I will send it out. I'll either send it with a note or I'll send it as a reminder earlier in the week because we will be discussing it next week. So before we end session two, I'm going to go around the room in a sentence or two. What are you walking away with? So, Mike, what are you walking away with?
I'm walking away with my next step. I think we did it. Feel like we did a good job this week, really making a breakthrough, and I'm ready to add some muscle to the bone in a hub statement and implementation.
Good. Focus. Strong, powerful, and focused. I love it. All right. Denise, what are you walking away with?
I liked when you said that, be committed but not locked into something. So that gave me the feeling of knowing that, okay, I can commit to this, but I'm still flexible and open to thinking about different avenues and different, ways of reaching out to people and helping them.
Good. All right. And for you, Denise, trying to be perfect is not a match for, being independent and, despite your disability and being your best self.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So try to let go of being perfect. Statement has to be perfect.
Right.
My notes aren't good enough. I don't listen well. There's a perfectness. There's a high standard you put on yourself that's in direct conflict, to live, being your best self and living independently. Like, living independently is being yourself.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So you're still holding yourself back a little bit from really truly being yourself, and it's just
it's time
to let it go.
I hear you. I am going to definitely hear you. Yes.
Yay! Good. I like it. All right. Good. All right, Anne Marie, what are you walking away with?
I'm walking away with two things. I think for the first time in my entire coaching career, if you will, I feel like I finally have a niche definition, and that I can't even describe to you how that feels finally. And I have a persona in my head of who this ideal client is within the niche. So I'm going to pull out some of the tools that I'm going to, of course, the overachiever here, but I'm going to pull out some of the tools that we use at work to define our target customers. And I'm going to create a little persona this week. And at the heart of that persona is she's saying, not this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. Shelby, can you come off star? Can you do star six for a moment and tell us what you're walking away with?
What I'm walking away with is that I need to do concurrent work. It's one, how I will attract a client, but then also how clients will be attracted to me.
Good. Yeah, because otherwise you're working too hard, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Right. It's not fun working that hard. Because
yes.
You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get frustrated, you're going to get burnt out, you're going to stop.
Yes, exactly.
Very cool. I love it. You guys are great. All right, so thank you for your comments. Thank you for your sharing. So this is Deborah Brown-Volkman for CTA's Niche to Be Rich. Class number two is complete. I will see you all next week at class number three. And again, if anybody needs anything, I'm here to support you. Reach out to me. I am here to help you during your journey. So have a wonderful, amazing, spectacular week, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys. Bye-bye.